Psalm 119, beginning at the first verse. Blessed are they whose ways are... are blameless. There's diet, please. Thank you. Water doesn't help me for some reason. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in His ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying Your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame. When I considered all Your commandments, I will praise You with an upright heart. As I learn Your righteous ways, I will obey Your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to Your word. I seek You with all my heart. Do not let me stray from Your commands. I have hidden Your words in my heart, that I might not sin against You. Praise be to You, O Lord. Teach me Your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from Your mouth. I rejoice in following Your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. Thank You. I meditate on Your precepts and consider Your ways. I delight in Your decrees. I will not neglect Your word. For the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about renewal. The need that each and every one of us has for personal renewal. How there is none of us, the old joke that's told about the town character. Are any of you old enough to remember when towns had characters? Now I guess they don't count how many characters towns have, but it used to be that towns would have one character. And he would go to the revivals that they held in the church every year, and about the fourth or fifth day, the preacher would be preaching on sin, and he would stand up and he'd go, "Oh God, fill me! Oh God, fill me!" For about 2 weeks, his life would be changed, and he'd go back to his old ways. After about 10 or 15 years of this, every year coming back, "Oh God, fill me! Oh God, fill me!" He jumped up in the middle of the revival services and ran to the front shouting, "Oh God, fill me! Oh God, fill me!" One of the little ladies sitting in the front pew goes, "God don't, he leaks." But the fact is, every one of us leaks. The Lamentations of Jeremiah say that the Lord's mercies are new every morning. There's a reason that we need that. We leak. All of us leak. And so all of us need renewal. And we talked 2 weeks ago, and if you weren't here and would like to get the message, talk to Paul. We talked about why God wants to renew us. We laid out that God wants His people to be in right relationship with Him. God doesn't want us far away. And last week, we talked about when we need renewal and gave 6 benchmarks to measure your life. And I hope that throughout this week, you meditated on those and wrote them down. If not, you can get that message. Today, I want to begin to lay out how we are renewed. How we are renewed. We've talked about why, we've talked about when, and now the how. And Psalm 119 begins the same way that the entire Psalms begin with this word, blessed. Blessed is one of those words that is almost impossible to translate, and equally hard to define. The blessing of God is something that is difficult to define, but evident when it's there. Do you get that? It's hard to define. Oh, but it's evident when it's there. Not only do you know when you are walking in the blessing of God, but people around you know when you're walking in the blessing of God. And often, as Christians, we try to fake it. But there is one thing you cannot do. You cannot fake the blessing of God. It's unfakeable. Oh, you can try to live a good life. You can try to do the right things. You can go through the right motions. But that will not replace the blessing of God. And so he says, blessed are those whose ways are blameless. God is looking for blameless people. Now, he didn't say sinless. He didn't say people that are perfect. He said blameless. Let me ask you, is there anyone who has an account against you today legitimately? Does God have an account against you legitimately today? Do people in your life have a legitimate claim against you? But did and has never done anything to make it right? You see, the entire Psalms is all about that. We assume that everyone is going to be blessed. In fact, we say that so cavalierly. Do you remember immediately after 9/11? Do you realize that that's over 7 years ago, going for 8? Everybody was saying, God bless America. And our assumption is that God blesses everyone. And there are many that believe God's blessing just flows to anyone. Now, to a point, that is true. There is a universal blessing that God gives to every person. The Word of God declares God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. It's not, here's a righteous man who's obeying God and there's the rain, you know, and you come to the end of his property and here's an unrighteous man that's his neighbor and no rain. Just kind of goes around him. You remember the comic strips of the guys with the cloud over their head all the time? But the Word of God says that God causes the sun to shine on the righteous and the unrighteous. But I want you to go back to Psalm 1, the very first psalm, the introductory psalm, the psalm that sets the tone for all the psalms. The rest of the psalms are a commentary on Psalm 1. If you understand fully Psalm 1 and 2, which was originally a single psalm, then you understand all of the psalms. If you don't get Psalm 1 and 2, then you're not going to understand any of the Psalms. Notice what it says. Blessed. There's that word again. Almost impossible to define. Oh, but it's there. Somebody says, well, blessed is help. I've known sick people that were blessed. I remember a good friend of mine from years ago, Dick Sanford. Dick Sanford was one of the most godly men I know. Raised 5 children, every one of them on the mission field. Had a godly wife who loved the Lord. And Dick was one of the you sat down and talked with Dick and Jesus just oozed out of him. And Dick got cancer. was untreatable, unoperable, uneverythingable. And Dick died a very slow, agonizing death. And he was blessed. I've known people with tremendous physical health that were anything but blessed. How about you? It's not health. It's not prosperity. I've known rich people that were miserable. Look at Howard Hughes. Billions of dollars and he hid out in a little penthouse. Terrified. I've known people of tremendous poverty that were blessed. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. There is a person who is blessed. But it says, not so the wicked. There are other people who are not blessed. They are like chaff. Now, not many of us are farmers here, so we don't know much about chaff. But wheat comes, and most grains come in a little outer package that protects it. That's the chaff. And after you've cut the wheat down and you've gotten the heads, they would throw them into a giant trough. And they'd roll this big heavy wheel around on them to grind on them. And that would grind over those things and it would break the nice edible part of the wheat from the chaff. And then they'd take forks and they'd go in and they'd pitch the wheat up in the air. And those heavy seeds, the precious wheat, would fall right back to the ground. But that chaff was just light, like gossamer wings. And as soon as it was thrown in the air, the wind would catch it and just blow it away. If you've ever seen a modern combine going across the field and you see this dust coming out from behind it, the chaff, that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked perishes. Now, we're talking today about, let's not lose focus about how to seek God, but the first thing is, we need to become a person who pursues righteousness. Let me tell you, it's hard to pursue righteousness. I don't care if you're a born-again, living for Jesus Christ believer, it is hard to pursue righteousness. And there are times when it seems to be harder than other times. But I'll tell you this, I have never in my life, I have gone through I don't know how many cycles of being up and being down, being in the valley and being on the mountaintop. But there has never been a time when I have pursued righteousness that God has not come back and restored. And if right now today you need to be renewed, you need to be refreshed, you need to be restored, God does come back when we pursue righteousness. Notice what else it says. Look at Psalm 119:7. Because I want to stick with this theme of the blameless. Notice a different way he says it. Psalm 119:7. Psalm 119:7. Notice this phrase. It says, I will praise you with an upright heart. God's looking for people who have an upright heart. A heart that looks up. So often we live in a world where the heart looks down. The heart looks down to that which is sinful. The heart looks down to that which is earthly. The heart looks down to that which is temporary. We want the pleasure of the hour, not the joy of eternity. We want the desire of the minute, not the desire of the ages. We want comfort today. And so often we can get that. We live in a place where you can be comfortable today. It amazes me how people turn to so many things that they know are destructive. Is there anybody here that after all that's gone before doesn't know how destructive drugs are? But how many people turn to them? Why? Well, it won't affect me, it won't hurt me, I'm the exception, I can control it. And you know what? There's nobody that doesn't know how many people there have been in the past that have said that, is there? There are people who have lived with former addicts and know the horror of that. Isn't that right, brother? And yet turn to the exact same thing. Did you see on the news this thing? Does anybody know the I haven't seen the news yesterday. Did this clown up in New York end up out of his penthouse and in prison where he belongs? Stole billions of dollars. I love this. You walk into a Wawa with a gun and steal $46 and they throw you in prison and throw away the key. You steal billions of dollars and destroy the dreams of tens of thousands of people. And they send you home to your penthouse to write million-dollar checks to your friends. But you know what it proves? It's never enough. How many billions of dollars did he have at the top? Wasn't enough. He had to scheme to get more. He says, we need to have an upright heart. When are we going to learn that the things of this world doesn't satisfy? I remember the first time that David went to a great adventure, and I mean, David had bugged me for I don't know how many years to go to Great Adventure. I mean, he'd see me go with the youth group. He'd see me take Janet. He'd see me go with the kids, with the youth. And, oh, can I go? And he was short enough that he couldn't get on any rides. And I knew he'd be miserable, miserable, miserable the whole day. No, you can't go. Oh, why not? I want to do it. So finally, he's tall enough. What is it? 54 inches, I think it is. I mean, we're measuring out. And, all right, you can go. We get there, and we're standing in line at the outer gate. What are we doing? We're standing here waiting. Why aren't they moving? Why aren't they going in? Why are we just standing around? We go through the metal detector. Finally get inside. Woohoo! No more waiting! And I'm going, oh. We ran to Batman because he'd heard about the Batman. And we get there and the line says, 45 minutes from this point. And I'm going, wahoo, we got here early. He's going, 45 minutes? And it was amazing because after we waited the 45 minutes and the ride takes, what does it take, about 36 seconds? Maybe longer than that. It doesn't seem longer than that. I'll never forget what he said. He said, it's not worth it. 45 minutes waiting for 36 seconds on the ride. But you know, the bottom line is the things of this world aren't worth it. And then I want you to just notice another phrase in this. He says, look at how he describes the Word of God. And if we're going to be renewed, the second thing is that we need Not only do we need to be a person that God can bless, a blameless, and a person of an upright heart, but second of all, we need to be a person who takes seriously the Word of God. I was talking to someone just this week, and they started in and they were saying, oh, you know, I have this friend and it's so bad for them, and oh, they call me and it's a terrible thing, and it goes bad, and things just don't seem to be good for them, and what's going on with this, but they're a good Christian. Well, but they don't go to church. Well, but they don't read their Bible. They don't seem to go by the Bible very much. Started talking about, well, they're not really into prayer. And I'm going, wait a minute, you just said they were a good Christian. I want you to notice what the Word of God entails. Look at verse 4. It says, you have laid down precepts that are to be marginally obeyed. Is that what your Bible says? Slightly obeyed. More or less obeyed. How many? Their Bible, more or less obeyed. Obeyed when I feel like it. Obeyed when it's fun. Notice what he says, they are to be fully obeyed. Isn't it amazing how often we want to seek God, but we want to do it on the cheap? We make deals with God. I was talking with the pastors the other day that I pray with, and we were talking about what to do going forward, because we really had a blessed week. We really did have a blessed week of prayer. I don't know that there was anything that I would say was just, wow, that's an incredible time of prayer this week. But I do know this, the cumulative effect was, if you were there all week, God worked in your life. It's the amazing thing that we want this, you know, the tingle started in my fingers, moved up my arm, and pretty soon my arm was, and then my other arm was, and then my feet wasn't. Woo! And most of the time, God doesn't do that. We go and we go, gee, you know, I don't. And we go another time, and we go, eh. And we go a third time, and eh. We go a fourth time, and all of a sudden, someplace in there, we go, wait a minute. I'm not what I was at the beginning of this week. What happened? But see, we want God on the cheap. And I remember we were sitting there at the pastor's on Thursday discussing what was going on and what we should be doing. Somebody said, one of the pastors said, well, maybe we should move to an earlier time. And Pastor Phil suggested, well, why don't we do both? Why don't we go to every 2 weeks having prayer, having one Friday night, the second Friday, and the fourth Thursday, and have the fourth Thursday early at 7 o'clock. And here's what all the pastors, except a couple of us, agreed. Well, people won't do that because, see, people trade out. If they go to one thing, then they just cut back on doing something else. You can't really expect people to add on new things. If they go to Thursday, they won't go to Friday. If they go to Bible study, they won't go to prayer. If they go to church, they won't go to Sunday school. If they go to Sunday school, they won't go to church. Because that's just how people are today. But notice what it says. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. And so often we get stuck, as soon as we start talking about obeying things, we start talking about the negatives, the thou shalt not. Well, hey, I'm pretty good. I don't do, I don't do, I don't do, I don't do, I don't do. But how horrible to be defined by what I don't do. Some of you are old enough to remember, like I do, the days when the definition of a Christian was, a Christian is a person who doesn't smoke, doesn't chew, doesn't go to movies and doesn't go with girls that do. But I began to think, look at what 1 John says. Look at what 1 John says. This is a familiar verse, but I want us to just kind of take this and go through it. This is the verse that the kids set to music, to, what is it, I Sing the Mighty Power of God. But I want to start a little earlier. 1 John chapter 2, way back by Revelation, way back in the back of the Bible. A couple of little tiny books before Revelation. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. Now, John starts this with a familiar phrase from 1 John. We know. Do you want to know whether you're a Christian or not? Well, John shows you how you can know. He says over and over again, we know, we know, we know, we know. We know that we have come to know Him. If. Notice what it says. We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man who says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands is a liar and the truth isn't in him. But if anyone obeys His word, now remember, what did Psalm 119:4 say about that obedience? It is to be partially obeyed. Pick five, pick your top favorite five and go with them. The word of God is to be fully obeyed. If anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. Or as the youth group says, whoever claims to live in Him must. 1 John 1:9-6. After that was so successful, they tried to find other verses that would go with that tune, and it just never worked. I want you to just think about four things about Jesus. I'm just picking four things about Jesus. Remember it says, must walk as Jesus did. Now I'm not going to pick a single negative thing. Didn't. I'm talking about four things He did. Notice what Matthew 4:4 says. What's the first thing that it says about Jesus if we're going to walk like Jesus? Matthew 4:4. What was Jesus' philosophy of life? Matthew 4:4. It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every part of the words, the underlined part of the words, the red letter words. I got a new Bible and I hate it because anymore you can't get anything but red letters. Everything's in red letter editions now, most of these things. And you know, I do not like a red letter edition because, you know, that's sort of like, ooh, this is what's God's Word, and the rest of it's just in black. Let me tell you, every word. Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Let me ask you, are you immersed in the Word of God? It amazes me how often people shun Bible study, shun serious study of God's Word. Getting deep. Somebody said, man, sometimes we go so slow in Bible study. That's because every word's important. I've got a book about this thick on my bookshelf. About this thick. I don't know, 800 pages, 700 pages, something like that. It is a commentary on 9 verses out of the Bible. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 19. Ephesians 6, 10 to 19, 900, 600 pages, 700 pages, 800 pages. What's that? About 100 pages a verse. It's called The Christian in Complete Armor. You take seriously studying the Word of God. Jesus did. Look at what, with me over at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke 4, 16. Luke 4, 16. Luke 4, 16. Jesus went up to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went out and played ball with all his old buddies. He went out to the golf course to meet with God in nature. Well, I can pray just as well on the golf course as I can in church. He went up to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue because it was a special occasion. Is that what it says? As was his custom. I was challenging a young person the other day. I've been a believer now. Boy, my math isn't that high. Coming up on 34 years. And if I've missed half that many weeks of worship, 34 years, that's probably an exaggeration. My wife can tell you. Sick? She'd say, stay home. No, gotta go. Are you absolute about worship? Jesus was. He had a custom. He was with God's people on the Sabbath day. Look at Luke 6:12. Look at Luke 6:12. Jesus had an important decision to make. He was going to appoint the men that would be the foundation of preaching the gospel to the world. He was going to pick out 12 men to be the primary witnesses of the gospel in the foundation of the church. And so, it says, on one of those days, Jesus went in and calculated and drew up resumes. Is that what your Bible says? On one of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray. You see, Jesus knew that the first response is prayer, not the last response. Not when all else, you remember the bumper sticker, when all else fails, pray? It ought to say before everything else fails, pray. If you pray first, you don't have to worry about all the failures. Hey, but be a knucklehead. Isn't that right, Patrick? We're good at being knuckleheads, aren't we? I always say you can go through a door without turning the knob, but either you or the door is going to feel it. Probably you. Jesus was a man of prayer. Are we a man of prayer? Well, look at Luke chapter 4, verse 44. Look at what it says about Jesus. Here's the description of Jesus. It says, he kept on. He did it a couple of times. People didn't like to hear it. Now, what happened when Jesus kept on? A lot of bad things happened to Jesus, didn't it? Remember the time they tried to throw him off a cliff? Anybody here ever been thrown off a cliff for Jesus? Some of us here have driven off a cliff, jumped off a cliff. But he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Kept on preaching. Jesus was a man who proclaimed the word. And he told us to do that too, didn't he? He said, what? What are we supposed to do? Go therefore and preach the gospel. You will be witnesses unto me. Acts 1:8. I'm just talking about four things. How obedient are we to all the Word of God? Is our attitude says, well, close enough? Or is our attitude, if God says it, I'm going to try to do it? Now, I want you to notice something. If you're starting to feel, oh man, I just, this is too much. Look with me at Psalm 119, verse 5. 119, verse 5. Look with me at 119, verse 5. If you're going, oh man, this just... Look at what the psalmist says. The psalmist has said, oh, blessed are they that are blameless, who walk according to the law. Blessed are they who keep His statutes. You have laid down your precepts. They are to be fully obeyed. And then notice what he says, verse 5. And thank God for all of us that verse 5 is there. He says, oh, that my ways were steadfast. You hear his recognition, man, I blow it. I blow it. I don't keep it all the time. I don't do it right all the time. I struggle. Let me say, failure, God can deal with. You try to obey and fail, God can deal with failure any day of the week. But failure is not surrender. I want you to write that down in your notes. Failure is not surrender. Did you write that down? Failure is not surrender. There is a world of difference between I am trying to seek God, I am trying to pursue God, I'm trying to obey God, and man, I have blown it and I have failed. And, oh, what's the difference? Who cares? We all fail, so why even try? Failure is not surrender. There's a world of difference between those things. And thank God He deals with people who fail. Oh, that my ways were steadfast. Verse 6, then I would not be put to shame. But you know what? Every one of us blows it. And there's not one of us in this room that doesn't blow it on a regular basis. Thank God for His mercy to give you a new start and a new beginning and to seek Him again. Let me ask you, have you blown it and given up? Have you said it doesn't work? Have you said, oh, it doesn't keep going? He says, all that my ways were steadfast. But I want you to notice the next thing it says. Verse 7, I will praise you with an upright heart. We looked at that as I learn your righteous laws. The next thing is, it's progressive. God will take us farther than we've gone before. Sometimes we want to get back. Oh, I had this experience with God 20 years ago or 5 years ago or last year or last month or yesterday, and I want to get back to it. God doesn't want to take us back to anything. He wants to take us forward. Notice the description of Jesus in Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Luke 2:52, it says, and He grew. And it describes how He grew. Can you imagine Jesus grew? And if Jesus grew, then guess what? That man, that convicts me. If Jesus had to grow, if Jesus had to grow in spiritual disciplines, He grew in wisdom. He had the wisdom of the ages. But He had to grow in wisdom. And he grew in stature. Not only physically, but also spiritually. We were talking last night at prayer about how it takes time to learn how to carry God's glory. And he grew in favor with God. Can you imagine that, growing in favor with God? Let me ask you, are you growing in favor with God? Or did you plateau a year ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago? Did you plateau in your relationship with God? And when you talk about your relationship with God, it's all yesterday, 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 yesterday. He grew. But I want you to notice the next statement that the psalmist says, verse 8, he says, I will obey your decrees, do not utterly forsake me. You know, you can be seeking God and feel forsaken. You can be seeking God and feel forsaken. In fact, some of the most forsaken times, sometimes when you're not seeking God, you don't feel forsaken because, hey, you're not expecting anything. But you know, it's hard to seek God and to expect Him. And when He doesn't come in our timetable or in our way, or it's really easy to feel forsaken. The psalmist says, he felt forsaken. He cries out, do not utterly forsake me. He says, you have forsaken me, but it's only partially. Don't take it to the nth degree. You feel forsaken today? Like God isn't listening to your prayers? Like God is far away? Like you aren't where you need to be? You aren't where you should be? That's not necessarily a bad place to be. You say, but you don't know. Oh, yes, I do. But in the midst of this, notice verse 10. Even though he feels forsaken, look at what it says. He says, I seek you with all my heart. Even when he feels forsaken, he continues to seek. Notice that's the second time he said that. Back in verse 2, he said, blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. He said, there's the general rule. God blesses those who seek them with all their heart. Notice the plural. He's laying out the general rule. So now he applies it to himself, and what does he say? I seek you with all my heart. Let me ask you. Are you willing to do whatever God asks to seek Him? You say, well, you know, I think I'm doing okay. I didn't ask that. I'm saying, are you willing to do whatever God asks? We've looked at some things that Jesus did. Are you willing to do those things? God wants to be found by us. We laid that out very clearly two weeks ago. The Word of God is clear. God wants to be found by His people. And the very time when we're far away, and we gave six signs of being far away from God last week. At the very time we're far away, that's the very time to seek Him. Now here's my question. Are you willing to knuckle down, get into the Word of God, obey what He says, and seek Him with all your heart? You say, if I do that, will I find Him this week? Probably not. Maybe. Probably not. How about next week? Maybe. How about the week after? I don't know. But I do know this. If you do that, the day will come when you will find Him. I don't know if it'll be this week, this month. It would be unusual in my experience if it wasn't this year. I don't know that I've ever had a time in my life when I've sought God in a serious way and gone a year without Him showing up. But I can't guarantee it. The question is, are you going to seek Him? Are you going to seek Him? Let's bow together. Lord, we desperately need You. We need You to come and to fill us. We need You to come and to transform us. We need You to come and to open our lives and open our minds. We need to have the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to have the joy of the Holy Spirit. We need to have the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We need to have the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need to be given to that state of blessedness. And Lord, it will not come without You. We cannot fake it. We cannot do religious duties to get it. We can't just manufacture it. Only You can come and bless us. But Lord, You have called us to seek. The psalmist said, "They that seek, God blesses they who seek. Therefore, I will seek You with all my heart." Oh God, may we be those who say the same. In Jesus' name, amen.